a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate Commerce and Energy Committee, I'd like to greet the anyone listening over the internet and thank everyone for coming here to testify or to listen to the testimony today. And I'd also like to introduce the page, if she would like to come up and say who you are and where you're from, if you'd like to go there.
My name's Elizabeth Fitterman, and I'm from Tripp.
Thank you for being here. After last meeting, we had already two donors to the District 5 Retired Legislator Fund for not turning off cell phones. So with that, I would remind everyone in the room to please turn off your cell phones. We will find them, and if they go off, so just be forewarned with that. With that, Secretary, please call the roll.
The following senators: Bogolka,
here.
Buell,
here.
Jensen,
here.
Johnston,
here.
Maher,
here.
Lederman.
Here.
Colleen.
Here.
There's a quorum.
Quorum is present. With that, the chair will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from last meeting.
So moved.
Second. It's moved by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Buell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. I would like to remind anyone who is here to testify on any of the bills to please sign in on the sheet back there, and also any handouts will be handed out by the page, and all questions will be answered and asked through the chair. With that, we are going to start the Commerce and Energy Committee meeting with a presentation from the PUC commissioners. And I don't know if you already had your order set, but please introduce yourself for everyone listening and everyone in the room. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Commissioner Christy Feagan, and along with me are fellow commissioners, Commissioner Gary Hansen and Commissioner Chris Nelson. And first of all, thank you for allowing us to come and do a Public Utilities Commission overview. In the past year when I've traveled across the state, one thing I have learned is that the common citizen doesn't really understand, or we haven't educated them as the PUC, what the PUC does. So it's nice to come in front and just give a quick overview. I'll give a briefing today, but Commissioner Hansen and Commissioner Nelson actually are going to get into some in-depth detailed issues that are impacting us in 2013. First of all, as you know, there are three commissioners that have six-year staggered terms. We have a staff of about 30, and they are analysts and attorneys and inspectors and customer service representatives. But what's most interesting about those staff is, as a commissioner, different than being a legislator, is I don't necessarily get to work with all those staff, because a lot of times the staff are parties in the cases or the dockets. So those are people that really represent the citizens of South Dakota. And so in a hearing, we hear them in front of us, but we don't really get to work beside them. So that's kind of fascinating, different from a legislator. And of course, we're a quasi-judicial group, different than a policy group that you are. We also have a Public Utilities Commission website, and I sure encourage you to go look at that. You can read our dockets. Our dockets are anywhere from a couple pages to thousands of pages for one docket. So it might be some great nighttime reading for you. Also, you can listen to us online just like the legislature. Anytime you want to listen to a hearing, we have audio webcasts that you can just click on your computer and listen. As you know, our overall responsibility is to make sure that our consumers in South Dakota have safe, reliable service at a very fair and reasonable rate. And as you also know, that we regulate investor-owned utilities and their rates and their quality of service, but we have very limited regulatory authority over wireless, over municipalities, co-ops, and independents. First of all, on electricity, we regulate all electric companies and co-ops on adequacy of service and the service territory. So we regulate everybody, and then investor-owned, of course, we regulate their rates and their quality of service. We also have some regulatory authority over transmission lines, and we're a resource for renewable energy. On telecommunication, you're going to hear a lot more from Commissioner Chris Nelson on the changes that we've had since the FCC order came down in November of 2011. I know we've had a lot of dockets on telecommunication this past year, and a lot of those are the changes of the FCC order that is impacting rural South Dakota, actually probably in a negative way. Also, we regulate natural gas and pipelines, and natural gas, we regulate, again, investor-owned utilities to make sure that their rates are reasonable and fair and their quality of service. We have a pipeline safety inspectors. We have two pipeline safety inspectors. They go through approximately a three-year training with the federal government. They're actually agents, kind of like of the federal government. Although there are employees of the state of South Dakota, they really work with the pipeline safety inspection program with the federal government. So a lot of times you will see us come forward with legislation that we need to address in South Dakota because the federal government asks us to comply with their standards. We also have a consumer affairs division, and this is an interesting division for me compared to a legislator versus a commissioner. It's very important because we have to be very careful of constituent service. As a legislator, you dig deep down into the details of constituent service. As a PUC commissioner, you have to be very cautious because any complaint that comes before the commission or before us or a concern could come into a formal complaint, and then the hearing would be in front of us. So constituent service is mostly done by our consumer affairs division. There are three staff people that handle about 2,000 calls each year. And they work extremely hard to be advocates for the citizens of South Dakota. They also administer the Do Not Call registry list, and there's approximately 600,000 lines on that list. We also do grain inspections, and you will certainly hear more about that throughout the session. But we do grain inspections of greenhouse buyers and greenhouse warehouse. And our inspectors do approximately 360 inspections each year. Also, the South Dakota One Call program is administered under the Public Utilities Commission, but actually they have their separate board. So the board really oversees the day-to-day operation of that, and then the complaints come to us. In fact, we will have a docket today at our hearing this afternoon on the One Call program. There are approximately 125,000 incoming local requests each year, or local locates. And then when you do outgoing locates, there's about 750,000. So that's a very busy operation under the One Call program, or Call Before You Dig. So that's just a quick overview. Commissioner Hansen and Commissioner Nelson will do some top issues that are impacting us in 2013.
Any questions from the committee for Commissioner Feagin? Okay.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gary Hansen. I'm a Public Utilities Commissioner. Appreciate the invitation to come before you folks this morning and chat a little bit about the Public Utilities Commission. I'm going to probably be referring to my notes considerably here so I don't get off on a tangent, because I'm going to be covering four items that, frankly, we could spend hours and hours discussing, and I'll, of course, stand by afterwards for questions. I'll be speaking on EPA regulations. The regulatory environment in the United States is can be described
our continued development of broadband rollout. The second thing that order does in the area of intercarrier compensation, and that's the dollars that phone companies pay each other as calls are transferred, that is going to be stepped down over time, and over the next 8 or 9 years, the compensation that's coming currently from long-distance telephone companies to our local phone companies will be completely eliminated, and that's about 25% of their revenue, and so there's going to be some real revenue challenges for our local phone companies in South Dakota because of that order. Second thing I'd mention is in the area of call completion, and some of you may have seen an editorial that I wrote about a week ago dealing with the issue of call completion. We'd think that with today's technology, you pick up the phone and you make a call, it ought to go through. But increasingly, we are having trouble with long-distance calls coming from outside South Dakota actually being able to complete to customers in South Dakota. And there's some economic reasons for that. There are long-distance companies that are carrying those calls that we believe are deliberately dropping and not completing those calls outside of South Dakota before they get here, simply because of the economics of actually delivering that call. That is an increasing challenge. The issue of federalism, is a hot topic right now in the area of telecommunications. This large order that the FCC passed a year ago really encroached upon some traditional state authority in jurisdiction in telecommunications. And so the president of our national PUC Association has established a federalism task force, and I'm very fortunate to be one of seven members chosen on that task force to write a white paper as to where is the appropriate jurisdictional lines for telecommunications for the various technologies and the various types of things that we need to be concerned with in telecommunications. We're working on that paper and we'll have that out by the end of this year to make a very firm, strong statement as to where we believe state authority ought to be as opposed to federal authority as technology changes. And the last thing that I'll mention that is really indicative of how the earth is changing in the area of telecommunications and technology is there has been a continued shift from the traditional public switch telephone network with telephones that you and I understand, copper lines, the traditional technology, moving to IP technology, Internet protocol. And this is a transition that is occurring. But AT&T has made a filing with the FCC attempting to and asking for permission to take a jurisdiction and switch completely to IP technology to see how does that work with the ultimate idea of expanding IP technology more rapidly in the areas that AT&T serves. And that's something that we're going to keep very close eye on because we want to make sure that as that technology changes, that consumers are still protected and still have the type of service that they deserve. The last thing that I will say before we open it up for questions, and I know our time is winding down, is I do want to talk about the major piece of legislation that the PUC will be bringing to this session. It is House Bill 1017 dealing with grain buyer and grain warehouse regulation. It will be up in the House Ag Committee next week, I believe, or in 2 weeks. Obviously, we had an issue with a grain buyer that became insolvent early last year, and we've carefully analyzed what do we need as the Public Utilities Commission, what types of tools do we need to find those kinds of problems quicker than we were able to with that particular situation. And so the bill that we are bringing has five premises to it that we believe give us those tools. It will get us more contemporary financial information from grain buyers so that we know what's going on with their finances sooner than we were able to under current law. It will require grain buyers and warehouses to provide that information under penalty of perjury so that we know we're getting accurate information. It will adjust some of the bond requirement categories. It will require that a grain buyer that goes out of compliance with financial requirements will be required to let us know. Simply tell us, hey, we're having some problems, and that allows us to go in and work with that grain buyer to determine, is this something you can work through and pull out of, or do we need to shut you down to protect producers? And the fifth area of focus is to allow us to get financial information from grain buyers that are domiciled outside of South Dakota but have locations that are licensed in South Dakota. Right now, that's a little bit of a challenge, and so we need to change the law to give us that authority. So hopefully, if the House treats that bill kindly, you will see that over on this side before the end of session. We certainly ask for your support. With that, we'd open it up for questions of Commissioner Hansen or any of us.
Thank you, Commissioner. Best of luck on your committee. Congratulations on being appointed, and we wish you the best of luck as you stand up for South Dakota. Are there any questions for any of the PUC commissioners? Senator Maher.
Commissioner Hansen, you had alluded to TransCanada. Where are we at with bonding for pipelines that come through? We've seen what happened in eastern South Dakota. They put the pipeline in. They've had a few leaks. What's happened? Are we doing anything with bonding so we don't end up with like a situation like an Anderson Seed where we don't have any bonding requirements and then this pipeline comes through and now we have this natural disaster?
Mr. Chair, Senator Maher, we... during the process with both Keystone as well as with XL pipelines, we required TransCanada to post bonds during the construction process, and then afterwards to make certain that roads and repairs were taken care of. And if my memory serves me correct, since we debated amounts and challenges of that sort, subject to correcting my statement later, there, I believe the two bonds, one of them was around $13 million, and I forget what the other one was, maybe, excuse me?
15.6.
Thank you, 15.6 million. Perhaps that was both of them together. It seems like we had one for a couple million, one for 13 million.
But that's just for the construction phase?
That was to assure that after they were all done and left the area, so to speak, their pipeline's still there, that everything was taken care of from the standpoint of roads, bridges, damages to property, things of this nature.
One more, Mr. Chairman. So now, okay, the pipeline, let's say Keystone 2's in, and we already know from Keystone 1 there's been a few leaks. Is there a bonding mechanism in place to help with that cleanup effort then, or do they? What is there to help with that cleanup stuff?
Mr. Chair, Governor, was Governor Rounds? Governor, yes. I was assigned to a task force that the legislature requested approximately 4 years ago to examine that, and I was the chair of that task force. We analyzed the bonding and have a report that we provided to the legislature some years ago that I can make available to you so that you can see those particulars. But there are a number of funds that are available, and there are requirements for cleanup and taking care of those challenges. So the conclusion by that task force and the presentation to the legislature did not subsequently provide for, I know there were bills before the legislature to establish, but the legislature decided not to.
Mr. Chairman, what have we seen with the Keystone 1 that came through? Has there been any claims? Because I know they've had some spills over there, but then none of them have been very big.
Keystone is, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, Senator Maher, there have been, I believe, four spills in South Dakota. They have all been at the pumping stations, and if you have had the opportunity to see a pumping station, there are just hundreds of gaskets and connections, and when they turn on the pumping station, they're tested, and of course with pressure, and when they have the leaks, then they shut it off, clean it up, and they're required to report the leaks. One of them was less than 5 gallons. I believe one was approximately 5, one was around 10. The most substantial leak took place in North Dakota. We are very concerned with the potential for leaks, certainly, and so much so that the commission, when we voted to provide for notification on spills, that TransCanada was required to report, as I recall, a spill as small as 1 pint. So it's significant. And we did go over extensively requirements for them to have people available immediately to and a variety of redundancies to check for leaks, including 26 passes every year to visually inspect the property. They have a SCADA system, which they have cathodic protection. They have multiple remote operated shutoff systems, just a variety of things to be. As you know, you look at anything that humans make, and we know that it can fail, and we want to be absolutely certain as best we possibly can, knowing the need for petroleum. We wanted to make as certain as we could that the citizens of South Dakota and our resources were not harmed by it.
Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Commissioner Nelson, please. Now, these grain suppliers, now this may come up in relation to the bill that's coming up, but If they have failed to notify the PUC that there's a problem, what are the consequences? Is there anything in statute for that? Or?
The bill that we are proposing has a section in it that requires the grain buyer, if they go out of financial compliance, to notify us. If they fail to do that, it is a, I believe we've put a Class 1 misdemeanor in there. If they fail to do it and there are losses to producers, I believe it's a Class 6 felony that's in the bill. And if I might just reemphasize, the important thing there is so that we know about it and can get out there and do an analysis of how serious is this. Is it something that they can work through, or do they need to be shut down? Senator Beal.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Nelson, one of the issues that seems to have been apparent with Anderson Seed is also that we had other state agencies that were aware of some financial problems that weren't communicated. This may or may not be in the bill or maybe part of separate discussions, but have you had any chance at addressing that and maybe building in some, I guess, safety net so that there may be better communication and facilitation of a third-party verification that, yes, they're okay, or yes, they're really in trouble?
If I might, that is not part of our bill. We've not put anything in the bill that deals with interagency communications. I don't know if any others will be doing that, but it's not part of our bill. Our concern is getting information directly from the grain buyer, the person that, that we've licensed, and that's the focus of the bill.
If it's not part of the bill, I think that's fine, but are there any informal conversations or sort of some maybe non-statutory, but some process in place for having that conversation so that there's some communication there if something does present itself?
We've certainly had conversations with some other agencies, and I think made it clear that if these types of things ever occur again, we'd sure love to know if it is legally possible for those agencies to let us know.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
While we're on that subject, can you allude to where we're at with legal stuff, or do you not, aren't you allowed to speak about that? Or
I can. I can let you know where we're at with the process of Anderson. This afternoon, the Public Utilities Commission is meeting, and we will make a final decision on the very last, or really the only, producer who has challenged any of our determinations, and we're going to make a final decision on his challenge, and we will also be then asked to vote on making a final recommendation on the distribution of the bond proceeds that will then go to circuit court for the court's final approval. And so assuming that we move forward on both of those this afternoon, it could be to the circuit court very, very quickly. And once the court approves, we'll begin cutting those bond checks.
Mr. Chairman, what was the amount of that bond?
$100,000, as was required by state law.
And what are the total losses?
The total losses were about $2.6 million. The total that will be covered by the bond or eligible for bond proceeds are a little over $2
million. Okay, we'll say thank you to the Public Utility Commissioners for
now
and move
appreciate
on to consideration
time.
Of bills. Thank you for coming. Thank the committee. We do have some bills that we're going to hear today. I'm going to remind all those here to testify that if you are just going to reiterate something that someone has said before, you can just say, I second that, and that will speed up testimony. With that, we'll move on to Senate Bill 12, an act to update citations and revise certain provisions regarding permits for energy facilities. Are there any proponents to testify?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate bill and...
excuse me, please identify yourselves.
My name is Gary Hansen. I'm a commissioner with South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. Thank you for allowing us to introduce this and helping us with Senate Bill 12. It deals with liquid being transported on liquids and gases being transported on pipelines. Senate Bill 12... In Senate Bill 12, the Commission is attempting to clarify our authority regarding the issuance of permits for energy facilities. The permitting of an energy facility is required in order to protect the environment and the welfare of the people who live near the energy facility. As part of its siting authority, the Commission issues permits for certain types of gas or liquid pipelines. The need for clarification concerns the definition of construction, as found on page 1 at the bottom of the page and at the beginning of page 2 on line 3 and 4. We are simply adding to existing law a definition of construction with the line on 3 and 4, which states this term includes modifications to facilities as defined in 4941B 2.2. We're attempting to get rid of ambiguity with that sentence. The added language clarifies that all modifications of facilities are subject to the permitting process. Specifically, the language is needed to clarify that a permit is required if a company seeks to increase the pressure of an already existing gas or liquid transmission line to 20% or more of the specified minimum yield strength, even if there is no clearing of land or excavation. The PUC believes that the intent of this law is that these types of modifications are included in the permitting process. The revision addresses the concern that a company that operates an existing pipeline may increase the pressure above the levels that otherwise would be required without having to engage in a typical construction activities, and the company could claim that it does not need a permit, and we wish to clarify that. This change will ensure that pipelines that are supposed to be subject to the permitting process are not able to avoid that permitting process by simply building a pipeline that does not require a permit and then going back and making changes to it where otherwise would. The only other change presented by this bill is found on the last page, page 3, and the second and third lines of page 4, where we just update citations to the federal regulations. And do you wish me to stand down or do you wish me to answer questions at this time?
Actually, since this is the first committee where we do take bills, I will address the committee and say that I like to entertain if someone has a question specifically for someone, we can move on that or you can wait. I'll kind of leave it up to the committee members themselves. If they have something burning on their mind, they can ask it. Otherwise, we'll go to the next person to testify. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further proponents? Any further proponents for Senate Bill 12? Any opponents? Hearing none, we will close testimony and open it up to questions from the committee. No questions from the committee. Any discussion from the committee? Anything from the committee? Well, with that, we'll move to committee action. Senator Jensen.
Move to pass.
Motion is due pass from Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Lederman. This is a roll call vote. Secretary, please call the roll.
Legalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Vote is unanimous in favor. We have a motion for consent moved by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Johnston. This is a voice vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Senate Bill 12 is moved due pass and placed on the consent calendar. Thank you, PUC commissioners. If you would like to leave, you may now leave. Thank you for coming, and thank you for bringing your presentation in right on time. Next bill on the docket is Senate Bill 7, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the registration of a place of business with the Real Estate Commission. Any proponents to testify?
Good morning, Chairman and committee members. My name is Melissa Miller, and I'm the Executive Director of the Real Estate Commission. Senate Bill 7 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the registration of a place of business with the Real Estate Commission. What Senate Bill 7 will do is reflect the law to the current industry practice and clarify which address needs to be registered with the Real Estate Commission, depending on the type of license. It also requires both the licensee and the responsible broker to notify the Commission if the licensee is no longer associated with that address. The South Dakota Real Estate Commission has had several meetings over the past year to discuss this and are in support of it. We also worked with the South Dakota Realtors Association to complete this legislation. So I will stand by for any questions.
Mr. Chairman, you want to do that now?
Yes, we can take questions now. Senator Maher.
I had asked you this earlier just in private conversation, but in the areas of the state where their physical addressing isn't available, P.O. boxes would still be suffice?
Yes, it would be.
Any further questions? Senator Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you give an example of what we're describing here, please?
Sure. Nowadays, licensees don't just do business in the place of business. They are in a cafe. They're in a restaurant. It may be in someone else's home. And we just want to make sure, they're getting their mail, that it's at the proper address, and that, we send them their licenses to that address. So we need to make sure we have that. We do audits with them. So we just need to clarify that and to make sure we've got the right information. We've had a little bit of issues where they may not be associated with them anymore, and we're sending them information and they're not getting it.
Any further questions from Mrs. Miller? With that, we'll move to any further proponent testimony. Please stand down and await questions just in case.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I just about fell on my butt. Dean Krogman, I represent South Dakota Association of Realtors, and we have discussed this with the commission, and we do endorse the legislation.
Any further questions from the committee? With that, we'll close it and move to discussion from the committee. Sorry. Any opponent testimony? Hearing no opponent testimony, we will close testimony and then move to questions. Thank you for catching that. No further questions, so we'll move to discussion. Don't see any, so we'll move to committee action. Motion of due pass moved by Senator Johnston, seconded by Senator Maher. This is a roll call vote. Secretary, please call the roll.
Legolka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holine?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Unanimous aye vote. With that, Senate Bill 7 is moved due pass. There is a motion for consent from Senator Johnston, seconded by Senator Buell. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? With that, Senate Bill 7 is moved due pass and placed on the consent calendar. We will move next to Senate Bill 60, an act to revise certain definitions regarding the appraisal certification program. Any proponents to testify?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the Senate Commerce and Energy Committee, for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the Department of Labor and Regulation in support of Senate Bill 60. I am Sherry Bren, the Executive Director of the Appraiser Certification Program. The Appraiser Certification Program is responsible for certifying, licensing, and registering real estate appraisers and the registration and supervision of appraisal management companies doing business in the state. Mr. Chair, I have a title amendment for Senate Bill 60. Would it be appropriate to ask that the amendment be moved at this time?
We will move it at the end of when we move to committee action, but I will give you leniency to speak to the amendment if you would like.
Okay. The amendment is just a typographical error correction. The word appraisal was put in the title, and it should have been appraiser for appraiser certification program. Thank you. Senate Bill 60 has been introduced to revise certain definitions. Section 1 defines appraisal practice, which is currently not defined in statute. This will provide the appraiser certification program jurisdiction and authority for effective supervision of appraisers that perform appraisal review and appraisal consulting assignments. Appraisers perform appraisals, reviews, and consulting assignments. These services are defined as appraisal practice. These assignments have nationally recognized development and reporting requirements that an appraiser must follow when performing these services. Currently, it is not crystal clear that the department has jurisdiction when an appraiser performs a review or consulting assignment. Adoption of this statute will clearly grant the department jurisdiction to require appraisers to comply with the national standards when performing reviews and consulting assignments. Section 2 and 3 amend Chapter 3621B and 3621D to revise the definition of appraisal in statute to conform to the nationally recognized definition in the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice and the definition in our current administrative rules regarding appraisers. The Department is responsible for our adoption and enforcement of the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. It is important to have consistent definitions in statute and administrative rule. Adoption of this statute will provide a definition in statute as in the administrative rule that is consistent with the nationally recognized definition in the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. The Appraiser Certification Program Advisory Council unanimously recommended this legislation. The Department of Labor and Regulation asks your support for Senate Bill 60. Thank you. I will stand by for questions.
Any questions from the committee? We'll move on to any further proponent testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Randy Vance. I'm an independent fee appraiser located here in Pierre. I represent the Professional Appraisers Association of South Dakota. We represent approximately 50% of the appraisers, and we support this bill.
Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Terry Leibel. I am a certified general appraiser here in Pierre. I am here representing the South Dakota chapter of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. Basically, we are the agricultural wing of the appraisal organization here in South Dakota. I am here today stating that we completely support this legislation. Thank you.
Any further proponents? Hearing none, I will open it up for questions from the committee of the proponents. If not, I will move to any opponent testimony. Any opponent testimony? I'll give the committee one more chance to ask any questions that they may have. Hearing none, we'll move to discussion and or action from the committee. Motion of due pass moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Maher. Sorry about that. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holleen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion is 7 in favor, 0 opposed. Moved consent by Senator Buell. Sorry. Excuse me. Ask for some leniency. We do need to move the title amendment. Sorry about that. Should that have... Okay. We do need to have a motion for the amendment, which is Amendment 60 STA. Motion of the amendment is moved by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Buell. Voice vote. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogolka?
Aye.
Gill?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Boleyn?
Aye.
Motion is seven in favor. Seven in favor, zero opposed. I just got a notice that we cannot place a bill that had an amendment on consent. So I would thank the committee, and we will target one of you to speak on this on the floor if we need to. With that, Senate Bill 60 has been moved due past, and we'll move to the Senate floor. We'll move next to Senate Bill 63. An act to revise certain requirements for certified public accountant firms licensed in South Dakota.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Nicole Kasson for the South Dakota Board of Accountancy. I'm the executive director for the board. Senate Bill 63 is an act to revise requirements for certified public accountant firms. Senate Bill 63 will streamline CPA firm licensure process by simplifying reporting, eliminating tracking of employees, and removing multiple office location reporting. Senate Bill 63 will allow the board to pass rules to create a tier-based system for firm fees by indicating the number of owners in the firm. Senate Bill 63 will ease the requirements of receiving and maintaining firm licensure while still maintaining accountability for CPA firms in the state. I do ask for your support in regards to Senate Bill 63, and we'll stand by for any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Actually, I'll ask a question. Similar to one that Senator Johnston asked earlier in the meeting. Would you give us an example where this comes into play?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Take, for example, a business that has three owners and they have four employees that are also CPAs. So it's a good size firm for the state of South Dakota. Right now we have those individuals not only reporting the owners who are CPAs, but they also have to track their employees who are CPAs. This bill will say they no longer have to tell us who those employees are, just the owners. Owners is a more stable number. Employees may have a tendency to move on or expand in whatever choice they make, but the owners usually is a consistent number. So what we're doing is just having them give us the number of owners, not the names. Or it could also be in reference to a firm in the state that wants to expand. We have a firm, let's say in Mitchell, they're a CPA firm, and they want to expand their services to Chamberlain. Right now they have to tell us they're opening that office in Chamberlain. They have to get a firm office location for that. We're going to eliminate that. We're just going to say your Mitchell office is your principal office, and that's all you need to tell us. You're going to be allowed to expand, and you're going to have your other offices, but you don't need to report that to us anymore. That's what this bill is going to do for them.
Senator Johnston.
My lawyer is also my CPA, but he his shingle is in as a law office. How is he impacted by this?
Mr. Chairman, currently, if he does not have a firm permit as an attorney, he may not, he may have the CPA license and be active. So he's doing what is necessary to do that, but he doesn't hold himself out as an accounting firm. He holds himself out as an attorney. So this would not impact him. You're welcome.
Thank you. Good question. Any further questions? With that, thank you.
You're
please
welcome.
Stand down. Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Larry Mann, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota CPA Society. I thought it would be helpful for you to know that we've worked with the Board of Accountancy on this, are in full support, and ask for your support for the measure. Thank you, sir.
Any further proponent testimony? Hearing none, we'll move to opponent testimony. Any opponents? We'll close testimony and move to questions and/or discussions from the committee. Hearing none, we'll move to action by the committee. Senator Lederman. Senator Lederman moves due pass, seconded by Senator Beal. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogolka?
Aye.
Huell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holine?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Motion is 7 in favor, none opposed. Senate Bill 63 is moved to pass. Senator Lederman. Senator Lederman moves consent. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Buell. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Senate Bill 63 is moved, due pass, and placed on the consent calendar. Thank you very much. With that, the final bill for the day is Senate Bill 64, an act to revise provisions regarding broker price opinions, comparative market analyses, and appraisals. I'm just making sure. Is that appraisals, not appraisers?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairman and committee members. My name is Melissa Miller, and I'm the Executive Director of the Real Estate Commission. Senate Bill 64, an act to revise provisions regarding broker price opinion and comparative market analysis and appraisals. Section 1 will clearly define a broker price opinion and comparative market analysis versus an appraisal. There's been some confusion in regard to this issue, and where some of them have brokers have been performing appraisals when they meant to be performing a broker price opinion. This bill will help clarify that confusion. Section 2 will clarify that a broker is allowed to perform a broker price opinion or comparative market analysis. Again, this is a legislation that we worked with our commission on and the South Dakota Realtors Association and the Appraisers Certification Program to complete it. So we ask your support, and I will stand by for any questions.
Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, South Dakota Association of Realtors Lobbyists, and we too agree with this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any opponent testimony? Any opponents? Hearing that, we will close testimony and open it up for questions and or discussion from the committee. Hearing none, we'll move to action by the committee. We have a motion of due pass moved by Senator Jensen.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Lederman. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogolka?
Aye.
Huell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holine?
Aye.
7. Unanimous.
Motion is 7 in favor, none opposed. Senate Bill 64 is moved due pass. Any further action by the committee? Senator Lederman moves consent.
Sorry.
Seconded by Senator Jensen. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? With that, Senate Bill 64 is moved due pass and placed on the consent calendar. Thank you very much for everyone who came to testify today. And for the committee, we got in at a pretty good time today, so thank you very much. With that, the chair will remind everyone, I don't think anyone has binders anymore. We're all moving into wireless, but okay, we've got a couple. Sorry, we've got a couple dinosaurs along with myself. So, okay, so please leave your binders behind, and with that, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Motion moved by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Lederman. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Chairman, I believe there's a chair-vice chair meeting today at noon in this room, just as a reminder.
Thank you.
Chair-vice chair meeting today in this room, noon.
Yep. Yeah.